Welcome to Shir on Sfarno, Parsha Shlach. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Eddie and Dina Arif, marking the yard side of his father, Abraham Arif, Avram Arif, and the Tarmisus and Maisim Tovim, that the entire family is involved in. So we spoke earlier this week about the Chet HaMiraglim, the sin of the spies, which of course is the primary story which is described in Parsha Shlach. What I wanted to focus this evening on is to speak about the aftermath of the Chet HaMiraglim, which according to the Sfarno, at least, is what animates some of the mitzvos that we have towards the end of the Sedra. So if you look in Perek Tesvav, right after the story of the Miraglim is finished, we find Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'marto aleihem, speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell them when you come into Eretz Yisrael, va'asisem ishel Hashem ola ozevach, when you bring a carbon to Hashem, either a burnt offering, an ola, or a zevach, a carbon shlomim. So v'hikriv ha'makriv carbon ol Hashem, mincha solos yisaron balo b'reviyos ha'in shemen, the Torah introduces the concept that when an animal carbon is brought to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it should be accompanied by a mincha, by a flour offering mixed together with oil, and it should also be accompanied by a nesach, by a libation of wine. And that, the Torah goes on to describe, you know, exactly how much flour, how much wine, depending on the nature of the animal which is being brought. So, this seems to kind of come out of nowhere. You know, where does this whole discussion about the menachos and nesachim, you know, where does that fit in to the overall picture of the parasha? So the Sfarno writes as follows. Hinei ad ha'egel, hoyo ha'karbon reach nichoach b'zulas mincha unesachim. You should know, the way karbonos work was something that happened in stages. Up until the Chet HaEgel, up until the sin of the golden calf, when a person wanted to bring a carbon, he simply brought an animal without having to accompany it with a flower offering or with a libation of wine at all. Ke'inyan behevel v'noach uva'avram. We find that that's the case prior to Matan Torah. If you look when the Torah describes how Hevel brings a carbon at the very beginning of creation, Behevel hevi gam hu mibecharos tzono mechelveyan. He brings sheep. There's no discussion about Hevel bringing any flour or any wine to accompany the sheep. He brings sheep, and that's it. Noach comes out of the teva. He brings an animal as a sacrifice to Hashem. Avram Avinu, again, is described as bringing sacrifices. The famous Akedah, right? He brings an ayil. You know, he doesn't run around looking for a bottle of Manischewitz wine, you know, to bring together with that ram. He just brings the ram, that's it. And so you'll say, okay, so that's prior to Matan Torah, but maybe at Matan Torah things changed. So he says, no, Uche'inyan vayishlach es narei b'nei Yisrael vayalu olos, vayizbuchu zvachim shlomim l'ashem parim. We find, as part of the experience of Matan Torah, again, there's a machlokas and the mefarshim, whether this pasuk is right before Matan Torah, right after Matan Torah, but it's certainly part of the overall event of Matan Torah, that Klal Yisrael are described as bringing karbonos. And what do they bring as karbonos? The pasuk says they bring parim. They bring bulls. And there's no mention of any menachos or nesachim, you know, any flower offerings, any libations, or anything like that. It sounds like they brought bulls as karbanos, and that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right, but the question was, is that a karbon, or that's a way of marking, you know, marking the spot as being special? In other words, it's, you know, it's not clear that's a... Even if you'd want to say it's a carbon, I don't think it's a carbon. I think it's a way of marking the matzeva, but it's by itself. You don't find that a zevach requires a nesach or a mincha. you know, although you find, you know, in that particular case, if you understand Nesach as being some kind of carbon that he's bringing, which, you know, it's a Nesach by itself, you know, you don't find this idea that the Zevach requires a Mincha or a Nesach. So the Sfarno claims that that was the case up until the Chet HaEgel. Uvechatam ba'egel hitzrich mincha unesachim la'olas ha'tamid shikar ben tzibur. So when the Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel HaZahav, so that says the Sfarno then changed the calculus. How do we know that it changed the calculus? Because if you look at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, when it describes how there's a mitzvah to bring the carbon tamid, right, the daily carbon, so the carbon tamid is described as being a sheep, a lamb, which is accompanied by a mincha and by a nesach. So it's very interesting. The Sfarno assumes that that commandment, which is in Parshas Tetzaveh, was given after the Chet HaEgel, even though in order to make that assumption, you have to assume that the Torah at that point is not in chronological order, right? Because the Chet HaEgel happens a parsha later, you know, in Parshas Kisisa. So you have to assume that at least that portion at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh chronologically postdates the story of the Chet HaEgel in Parshas Kisisa, which again, as we saw last week, the Sfarno is comfortable with the idea of Ein Mukdam Ma'uchar Batorah, you know, to the extent to which there could be a thematic way for explaining why things are not presented in a chronological order. He would have to explain why, you know, the Torah chose to deviate from the chronological order in this case, but that's his assumption. He understands that when the Torah tells us about bringing the Karban Tavan and Parshas Tetzaveh, that was actually given after the Chet HaEgel. And the response to the Chet HaEgel was, now every animal carbon is going to have to require a mincha and a nesach. That happened by the Chet HaEgel. That was the Olas Tamid, the carbon Tamid, which is a carbon tzibur. That's a community carbon. Umeyaz shechatu b'miraglim. And then there's a third stage. Now after the Chet HaMiraglim, hitzrich mincha nesachim lahachshir gam carbon yachid. Now what's being added in the aftermath of the Chet HaMiraglim is that you have to bring a mincha and a nesach even if you're a private individual bringing a karbon. So in other words, there are three stages over here. Originally, prior to the Chet HaEgel, you just brought an animal. Now after the Chet HaEgel, you have to bring a mincha and a nesach for a public karbon, a karbon tzibur. And now after the Chet HaMiraglim, even a karbon yachid, even a private karbon, requires the mincha and the nesach. How do we see that we're talking about private karbonos over here? So again, if you look in the pasuk, that's what the pasuk says. Perek Tesvav pasuk Gimel, Vasisem Isha Lashem Ola Ozevach Lefale Neder Ovinadava. Right, you're making good on a promise that you made to bring a karbon, and then the pasuk goes on to say Obemoadechem, or on your holidays. So on the surface, that would seem to imply that that's a public karbon, but we know that there are certain private karbonos, which everyone is obligated to bring on a Yom Tov as well. You have to bring a karbon re'iyah to mark the fact that you're being ola regel, that you're coming up to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring a karbon chagiga to express the celebration of the Yom Tov. So according to the Sfarno, the words obemoadechem, you're bringing a karbon on your Yom Tovim, is not referring to the public karbonos musaf that were offered up on Yom Tovim. It's referring to the things like the Re'i and the Chagiga, the Karbanos Yachid, the private Karbanos, which are being offered up on the Yom Tovim. And the whole point of this section, you know, where it is, right after the Chet HaMiraglim, is to say, in the aftermath of the Chet HaMiraglim, now a Mincha and a Nesach is going to be required, not only for a Karban Tzibur, not only for a public Karban, but even for a Karban Yachid, for a private Karban as well. Oh, right. So now, okay, so according to the Sfarno, we now at least understand why this parsha is here, because there's a, you know, the fact that they have to bring now a mincha and a nesach, even for a private karbon, is a result of the Chet HaMiraglim. But as Reb David asks, very, very correctly, what has one got to do with the other? In other words, this is a punishment, you know, now you're going to have to bring extra stuff. Why should that be related to the Miraglim? Why should that be related to the Chet HaEgel? Sfarno doesn't explain. Perhaps we can suggest as follows. This, again, if you don't like it, it's me, it's not the Sfarno. So, you know, this is just a suggestion. What's the meaning behind a carbon mincha? what's the meaning behind the nesachim, the libations. So when it comes to the Karban Mincha, the Mincha represents the Karban that a poor person would bring, when offered by itself. We know that a Karban Mincha can be brought by itself in certain cases, in what's called Dali Dalus. A person has to bring certain types of Karbanos. If he's wealthy, he brings an animal. If he's not so wealthy, you know, he brings birds as opposed to an animal. If he's extremely poor, so then he simply brings a carbon of flour, and it's with regard to that carbon of flour that the Pasuk says, V'nefesh ki sakriv, when the soul offers up this carbon, and Kamen Chazal, Rashi brings it on Chumash at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, that, you know, it may not be a lot for a wealthy person to bring a flower offering to the Beis HaMikdash, but Nefesh Kisakriv, for this poor person who has nothing, he's offering up his soul. This may be one of his few possessions that he has when he brings the carbon of flour to the Beis HaMikdash. So the flower offering is associated with poverty, with lowliness. Perhaps, just taking that one step further, the idea of tacking on a carbon mincha to an animal, which on the surface wouldn't seem to make so much sense. In other words, if I'm bringing an animal, what do I have to tack on this additional carbon of flour? I'm bringing something far more expensive and, you know, a much greater gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam by bringing him an animal. Why would I also have to bring flour? Perhaps the flour offering is meant to be a message in humility, a lesson in humility to the one bringing it. Thank God you're wealthy enough to be able to afford this animal to bring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But remember that the tide of fortune could turn very suddenly, and you could be the kind of person who would only be able to bring a lowly flower offering. So there's a certain humility, a certain anivus, which is associated with the idea of bringing a flower offering. What's the idea of bringing a nesach, nesachim, the libations? Yeah, 100%, right. So humility and contrition go hand in hand. What's the idea of bringing nesachim, of bringing libations? So we find that wine in general is associated with simcha. And Chazal tell us, Ein omrim shira ela al hayayin, the song would be associated with the bringing of wine. And we know in the Beis HaMikdash, that's when the Levium would sing the Shir Shal Yom, the song that was associated with every day, davka, when the nesachim, when the libations of wine were being poured on top of the Mizbeach. Why? Because wine and song go together. Wine and simcha and happiness go together. So the addition of bringing wine in addition to the carbon of the animal speaks to the idea of simcha. Klal Yisrael had sinned, not once, but twice. They had sinned with the Chet HaEgel, they had sinned with the Chet HaMiraglim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's reaction to that is that the people obviously need to do something to work on themselves because of the sins that they've committed. What can one do to counteract sin? So there are two basic midos that if a person has, can be very, very strong deterrents. Nothing is foolproof, but they can be very strong deterrents in terms of keeping the person from sinning. If a person has a sense of anivus, of humility, and again, as Rav David said before, contrition before the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a very powerful thing to keep the person from sinning. And at the same time, almost in an opposite sense, if a person has simcha, he has joy in his performance of mitzvos, that also keeps a person from sinning. The person who feels that the performance of mitzvos is dull, that it's robotic, you know, that it's something that, you know, I got to do this, but I don't really enjoy doing that. So that's a recipe for disaster. That will lead the person to seek out Averos, because the Averos is so much more exciting than in his eyes, than the mitzvahs that he's performing. If he has a sense of simcha in the performance of the mitzvahs, so that brings him much, much closer to being able to follow the mitzvahs well. Again, that's the Rambam famously notes, that when the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo speaks of the Jewish people being punished, it says, Tachas Hashalo Avadatos Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha. Why are you being punished? Because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. And the Rambam says, it's not that you didn't serve Hashem. You served Him, but you served Him without joy. And the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Lulav, in the Sukkah of Lulav, that the joy that's involved in the performance of mitzvos is a very essential and integral part of the performance of the mitzvah itself. So, essentially, come the mincha and the nesech, and they say, when you're serving Hashem by bringing a karbon, obviously there's a need to add two elements there that you didn't have before. You need to have that sense of humility, and you need to have that sense of joy in the performance of the mitzvahs. Originally, after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, if as a nation they add in these two elements, when they bring a karbon tzibur, when they bring a public karbon, okay, so that, you know, if the nation adds to its sense of humility and joy in the performance of mitzvahs, that should be sufficient. Obviously, it wasn't sufficient because the people sinned with the Chet HaMeraglim, as we spoke about earlier in the week. This tremendous Chil Hashem, the sense that they had, at least even temporarily, that God was not powerful enough to enable them to come into Eretz Yisrael Chalila. So, obviously, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they need more than just public karbanos, adding in an element of humility and joy. It has to be that every individual has to focus on those ideas of humility and joy when he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing a karbon, and hence the discussion that we have over here in the Chumash, that, okay, now that the Chet HaMeraglim has taken place, you'll have to add these additional elements into the karbanos that weren't there before him. And maybe one can suggest that that's, you know, that's the role that these additions play after the Chet HaEgel, and then again, in a even heightened sense, after the Chet HaMeraglim. The same idea that the mitzvos which are presented at the end of the Sedra flow from the Chet HaMeraglim applies to the next mitzvah which is described in the Torah, namely the mitzvah of Challah. So we have in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'vo'achem el ha'aretz ashani mevi eschem shama. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, v'yobacholchem ilechem ha'aretz torimu sruma l'ashem. When you eat from the bread of the land, you should take off a truma, a gift to Hashem. Reishis arisoseichem chalo torimu sruma. The choicest part, or the first thing that you do with the dough, you should remove a truma, a gift to Hashem, and it should be chalo. Right? Kisrumas gan ken torimu osa. Just like you take off truma from the threshing floor, so too you should take off chala from the dough. So the mitzvah of chala is introduced, you know, at this particular point in time. Why is the mitzvah of chala introduced in this particular point of time? So many mefarshim say it's meant to reassure Klal Yisrael, right? Because both this and the previous mitzvah of the menachos and the nesachim are prefaced with the introduction kisavo el haaretz. Right, b'va'achem el ha'aretz, when you come into Eretz Yisrael. So in a sense, these mitzvos, say many, are nechamos, they're consolations to Klal Yisrael. Yeah, you lost out this time, you're not coming to Eretz Yisrael for the next 40 years, but it's not like you're never coming into Eretz Yisrael. You will come into, you won't come into Eretz Yisrael, your children, the next generation will come into Eretz Yisrael. And here are these mitzvos that are meant, you know, for when you come into Eretz Yisrael. So don't give up hope, don't feel despondent. Yeah, you sinned, yeah, you're going to be punished, but, you know, all hope is not lost. You'll still be able to inherit Eretz Yisrael. The Sfarot takes a very different approach. As we already saw, you know, with the Menachos and the Nesachim, the focus over here is not reassuring Klal Yisrael that they'll come into Eretz Yisrael, but the focus, rather, is on pointing out changes that had to be introduced, new mitzvos, new elements in mitzvos that had to be introduced because of the fact that they sinned with the Chet HaMeraglim. So Menachos and Nesachim we discussed already. How does Chala come into this? So he writes as follows. Achar Chet HaMeraglim hitzrach gam hachala. It was necessary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu required the Jewish people to take off Chala because of the Chet HaMeraglim. It's interesting. The implication seems to be, according to the Sfarno, that had the Chet HaMeraglim not taken place, had Klal Yisrael just gone straight into Eretz Yisrael, so we would have been, we wouldn't have gotten the mitzvah of challah. That's the way the Sfarno seems to learn. The mitzvah of challah is a reaction to the Chet HaMeraglim. Why? L'man yu re'uyim shetachu bracha bevoteyim. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to raise the spiritual level of Klal Yisrael such that they will be able to bring bracha, to bring blessing into their houses. What's that got to do with challah? So he quotes the pasuk, in Yecheskel, Perek Mem Dalet. We had this. This is the Haftarah for Parshas Emor just a few weeks ago. Ka'amro, Bereshis Arisosechem Titnu LaKohen LaHavi Bracha El Beisecha. The pasuk in Yecheskel says that you should perform the mitzvah of challah and give the challah to the kohen lahaniach bracha el beisecha in order to cause blessing to come down and to rest upon your house. So, I think ordinarily we understand, it's a very powerful pasuk in Yecheskel, and that's, as we know, the idea that there are tremendous brachas associated with hafrashas challah comes from this pasuk in Yecheskel. You know, it's when they have a challah bake, you know, that they need a refuah shleima for somebody. So, you know, people will go and they'll bake challah and they'll take off challah and be mekayim the mitzvah as a schus for somebody. That basic concept goes back to this pasuk in Yecheskel that says that hafrashas challah, taking off challah, is considered to be a source of bracha. L'haniach bracha el beisecha. But I think ordinarily the way that's understood is that there's a mitzvah of challah, and it so happens that if you fulfill the mitzvah of challah, it brings bracha into the house. The Sfarno is going one step further than that. The Sfarno is saying the whole rationale behind the mitzvah of challah is to bring bracha into the house. It's not just that the bracha is an incidental byproduct of fulfilling the mitzvah. The whole rationale behind the mitzvah is to bring bracha into the house. Klal Yisrael at this point desperately needed bracha. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I have this mechanism to give you bracha. What's the mechanism? If you take off challah from your dough, so then that will bring bracha into the house. What's magic? How does it bring bracha into the house? It means that every time you sit down to eat bread, and bread, of course, is the staff of life, you're recognizing that everything really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their sin was a sin of Chilul Hashem. The antidote to Chilul Hashem is Kiddush Hashem, is sanctifying Hashem's name. And recognizing that Hashem is the ultimate power behind everything is a form of Kiddush Hashem. So in other words, you know, the separating of challah is a statement that that Hashem is behind everything, and that statement itself brings bracha into the house. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this mitzvah in order to give bracha to the Jewish people because they desperately need bracha after the Chet HaMiraglim. V'chein Eliyahu, right? So too, we find a similar concept by Eliyahu. So here, the Sfarno makes an interesting comparison. Asili misham uga ktano barishona, botseisli, kicham Hashem kara kemach lo sichla. Right? So what's going on over there? So the story in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, describes how Eliyahu Anovi is interacting with an almana, a widow, who has nothing. You know, she has to, find sustenance. So Eliyahu says, make an uga ketana, make a little loaf of bread, and that will bring bracha into the house. Kada kemach lo sichla, the pitcher of flour will not be exhausted. You'll have this incredible, miraculous amount of flour which is going to come about because of this uga ketana, of this little bread that you're going to make. What's one got to do with the other? So Rabbi Cooperman, in his notes, quotes the Radak on that pasuk in Melachim. Yesh drash. Some explain what's going on over here as follows. Lefi shahaya kohen. Eliyahu Hanavi was a kohen. Shetotzi lo min ha'isa chalo tchila. The uga ketana, the little loaf that the woman was making and giving to Eliyahu Hanavi, was actually a form of challah. Right? She was taking off challah from the dough, giving it to Eliyahu HaKohen, who was a Kohen, and Rai is also Pimchos, right? That's all part of the same, same person. Different mask, different time, right? Different name, different time, same person. So this act of giving the challah to Eliyahu Hanavi brings bracha into the house of the Almana. That's the way the Sfarno was learning, like this Radak, that, you know, that's why Eliyahu Hanavi asks her to do this. And he basically is saying, I can bring bracha into your house, but you first have to fulfill this mitzvah of challah. So in other words, we see that challah has this incredible power to bring brachos. The Ribbono Shel Olam created this mitzvah for Klal Yisrael to give them the opportunity to have bracha. After the terrible, terrible events associated with the Chet HaMiraglim. What's that? No, so in other words, the way he's understanding is the Uga Katana was, the little loaf was part of a bigger dough, and it actually was the mitzvah of challah. So in other words, not that she just made a little dough and that was it. She was mafresh challah from a bigger dough, and that's the Uga Katana, which the Pasuk is referring to. Perhaps, based on this, we might be able to just explain the following. We know that Chazal, somewhat atypically, required us to take off challah and chutzal la'aretz. Now that's a din de rabbanon. Right? The Pasuk talks about b'vo'achem el la'aretz, when you come into Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah d'araisa of challah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in chutzal la'aretz. Chazal took what is a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz, a mitzvah that really applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and they extended it to chutzal la'aretz. So that's very strange. I mean, there are many other mitzvahs that are tluyos ba'aretz that are dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. There's trumos, there's meisers, there's shmita, all kinds of mitzvahs that are connected to Eretz Yisrael. We don't find that Chazal transferred those mitzvahs midrabanon to chutzal la'aretz. And if anything, it would be weird for them to do so, because it sort of undermines the whole concept of a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz. The whole point of a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz is that it's a mitzvah which applies uniquely and specifically in Eretz Yisrael. So the minute that you say, well, midrabanon, we should do it in chutz la'aretz also, so wherein is the specialness of Eretz Yisrael? You just kind of took the specialness of Eretz Yisrael away. So why is it that challah somehow gets transferred to chutz la'aretz, where all other mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz remain in Eretz Yisrael? We don't find even midrabanon that they're transferred to chutz la'aretz. So maybe it's this idea of the bracha of challah. If challah has such a potential to bring bracha, so Chazal said, so why should the Jews living in New York lose out on that bracha? I don't know if it's the same bracha. Right. But I mean, even if we're in Galus, we can use all the brachas that we can get. So Chazal said, so we'll create a din derabanan of challah. Maybe it's only a bracha midrabanan, okay, but we'll take a bracha midrabanan also, we'll take all the brachas we can get. So, maybe that's why Chazal, somewhat uniquely and unusually, created a mitzvah midrabanan of chal and chutzalar, is something that we don't find by the other mitzvahs at Luyos Baritz. Yeah. Right, so it's a very interesting question according to the Svarna. So it sounds like there were certain, even though we say in general the mitzvahs were given at Sinai, it sounds like there were certain either mitzvahs or details of mitzvahs that only came about later on because they were reactions to events. In other words, according to the Svarno, both of these mitzvahs are reactions to the Chet HaMiraglim, and therefore they were given later on. Now you say, okay, how does that work? I mean, we seem to find in the Pasuk Pshat of the Chumash there are at least a couple of mitzvahs that seem to have not been given at Sinai because Moshe Rabbeinu isn't aware of them, like Pesach Sheni, right? Or Yerushas Habas, the whole story with the Benos Slavchot, the notion that a daughter under certain circumstances, if there are no sons, can inherit, right? So the simple Pshat of the Pasuk seems to imply that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know these halachas, right? If he was taught these halachas at Sinai, so how come he doesn't know the halachas when they come up? So, again, as much as we say that the mitzvahs in general were Nemru Misinai, it seems that there are at least some mitzvahs that were given later on in the desert under certain circumstances. Again, Mipiyar Gvura, they have the same status as all the other mitzvahs, but the Sfarno is just applying that to these particular mitzvahs over here. Okay, wish everyone a good Shabbos. Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rabsa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Es Yisrael.